Oh, friend. Okay, we're going to continue with who is God, knowing who God is. I kind of saved the good stuff for last. We're going to go to Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to start in 13. I'm really looking for that. Basically, we're picking up where God is calling Moses. Sure, everyone's heard of the burning bush that Moses encountered. Basically, God is telling Moses to go to the Israelites who are slaves in Egypt. And he wants Moses to go in and rescue them and get them away from Pharaoh. And after God tells him this, we're picking up where Moses is asking what should he say. Verse 13, then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I love that because a lot of people have translated that into Yahweh. You know, God revealed his true name to Moses, which is Yahweh. And basically, when God said, I am who I am, he's ever present. And that's something to think about, because even hundreds of years ago, he's talking to Moses, and he's saying, I am, I am. I'm ever present. It just reveals the magnitude of who God is. Even now, he is. He is present now. And the thing that I love about that is, here we're going to turn there now. And we're going to go to John. It's the Gospel of John in the New Testament. And we're going to go to chapter 8. Gospel of John in chapter 8. And we're going to pick it up in verses 56. And if any time anyone comes, against you and says that Jesus Christ never said he was God, here you have a little ammunition. Jesus was coming against the Pharisees. They're always coming against him about one thing or another, trying to get him and to say the wrong things, to see, just to get the people riled up and try to throw Jesus out or to kill him. But here Jesus was kind of contending with them. Actually, I'm trying to find where exactly to start. Let's start at 48. The Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also, and you say, If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? And I love this. Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So they kind of threw him back. And here's a response. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. That just blows me away. I love Before Abraham was born, I am. Man. Jesus just... They had no... They knew exactly, basically, what he was talking about. That's why, further on, we read, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Because what he said cut so deep, they knew exactly what he was saying. You know, and this is what they wanted to know, but they didn't want to know it, if that makes sense. It's like a veil hidden over their eyes. They did not want to see Jesus for who he really was. And he basically told them, you know, he basically told them flat out in that statement who he was. And they didn't want to hear it. Before Abraham was, I am. That is awesome. So that's, you know, if anyone ever comes against you, you know, you start to question in your heart, you know, whether Jesus Christ was God, you know, then here, you can hold that. Because Jesus Christ is with the Father. He's in the Father. And the Father is in him. And we are in Christ. We're all one. We are all one. But of course, Jesus Christ is first. He's the firstborn. And God gave him all because of what he did. Alright, we're going to go back to Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 11, verse 7. Let's see here, Genesis chapter 11, verse, of course I clicked on the wrong thing. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. Now, this is where people were gathered together and was building the Tower of Babel. Basically, it's just representing that man is coming together and even God states that whatever man purposes in their heart, in his heart, you know, he's going to succeed at it. So this is where God came down and confused the language of mankind. And basically we just scattered because of that, because we couldn't communicate with each other. Which, you know, as we see nowadays, that is coming back together with technology. But then, this is when we were scattered. But the thing that I would like to point out here is this little two-letter word, come, let us go down. And there confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech. So, you see the Godhead there. And we know that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And here in that text, you know, back and way in Genesis, and there's two little words, it's revealed there, you know, the and not in plain, where it's like, oh, you know, this is the triune Godhead here, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we can see that by the word us is plural. I mean, obviously, you know, and who's talking here? It's God. It's God. So there was just one to point out there in Genesis that God, you know, it's not just God the Father, so that you can be comfortable in thinking of the Holy Trinity, because there are three people who basically is God. It's hard to understand. It's a mystery, you know, and their mind can't comprehend it, but it's just what it is. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, 1 through 3. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came down from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke by saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron therefore kept silent. You may be asking yourself, why are we reading this? When God was laying down his law to Moses, he gave specific instructions on how to worship him, how to set up the tent of meetings, you know, what the priests should do as far as their offerings and things like that. You know, he's very detailed in that. The reason why God was so detailed in that is because, number one, he's dealing with humans who have a sin nature. By our nature, we do not know how to worship God. We do not know how to approach God. So God had to lay out the steps for worshiping him. Okay, and Moses wrote it down as laws, basically, on how the Israelites were to act in their lives, and how to basically perform the duties as far as worship. And here, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they did not follow the rules, basically. And this is just to point out the holiness of God. God is a holy God. When people do not follow His ways, there's a penalty because of that. He wants us to be holy like Him. He wants us to be separate from the people in this world. To be holy and separate like Him. Okay, and there's a price in that. That's why we have to give up certain things in our lives. That's why our lives change so drastically. It's because of God's holiness. It's because that in order to be with God, we have to deny our nature. There is a story in the New Testament where Peter was, we won't go there now, but I'll just relate the story to you. Peter had the newcomers that were coming into the church, they were forming a community, and they were voluntarily giving up their possessions to, they were bringing it to the apostles so that they can share, so everyone will be on equal footing. It's kind of like a, I don't want to say a commune, but kind of like a socialist society where, you know, everyone pulls their materials together so no one would have a need, so everyone will have what they need, basically, and no one will be lacking. Well, there was this one couple who sold some land that they had, and instead of giving all of their money, they came to the apostle. You know, they kept back some of their money from the sale of their land. But when they came to the apostle and presented their gift, they acted as if it was all of it. And Peter discerned the intentions in their heart, you know, were not true. They're not, they weren't being truthful. They were lying. And when that was revealed, they dropped dead on the spot. Now, this is after Jesus rose and everything, and the church was forming. Okay? So, it's that holiness, it's that holy God that we serve. He deserves respect. Okay? And we can't come to Him with falsehood. We can't come to Him with our own designs. He's a holy God. And He gives us the means to come to Him. We just have to follow it. We can't come to Him by any other way but through Christ. And it's Christ who justifies us. It's Christ who cleans us up so that we can be presentable to God. Okay? Where God's holy wrath won't be visited on us. But in that, we have to be holy. That's why we can't lie. That's why we can't cheat. Because that's not God's nature. We represent God. We have to be holy like God. So we can't be going around doing the things that we used to do. You know, that's why we get cleaned up. But the reason why, again, the reason why we went to Leviticus is just so that it can be said, God is a holy God. He desires a right way of doing things. And these two priests did not do the right way, so they died. And again, in the other example, which you can read in the New Testament, it's in Acts, basically. Where the couple basically lied against the Holy Spirit and he died. So God desires holiness in our lives. He deserves it. Again, he died for us for it. You know, he paid a price for our lives. So he deserves it. And I think that may be 20 minutes. I don't know. I forget. But we'll end it here and we'll pick up in our next lesson. You have a good day, friend. God bless you.